That is such a beautiful song. It's a very powerful song. But I am also surrounded by a lot of beautiful people today who are also very powerful people. We call them mom. To all the mamas who are here, to all the future mamas who are here, but especially those who are with us today, from the bottom of my heart, this church's heart, happy Mother's Day. We can't do it without you. And I am so thankful to have a godly mother. And I am so thankful to have a godly mother-in-law. And I'm so thankful to have a godly wife who is the mother of my children. What a blessing it is, right, to have godly mamas in your life. Today is Mother's Day. Today is the Lord's Day. But it's a day that we, as we just heard from Gabriel, we're told in Ephesians chapter 6, especially verses 2 and 3, that we are to honor our father and our mother. In fact, the fifth commandment reads, honor your father and your mother. What does it mean to honor? Honor, simply defined as value, respect, and pay tribute to. I believe that responsibility to honor our mothers begins when we're a child. But I believe, personally, that it should continue till the day we die or no longer have our mothers. But even when they're gone, we should honor their memories. We should honor their legacy. You see, Mother's Day is a special day. It's a special day for a lot of reasons. But our mothers do so much for us. They have done a lot for us, and they probably still continue to do a lot for us. Mother's Day is the day that we have set aside every year to simply tell them thank you and how much we love them and how much we appreciate them. You might think, is this a biblical concept? Well, certainly it is. We just saw in Ephesians 6, 1 through 3, we know it's the fifth commandment. But we even have Jesus Christ, the ultimate example of all things, the ultimate example of the way we should resist Satan, the ultimate example of how we should pray, the ultimate example of how we should love our Heavenly Father, the ultimate example of how we should teach and how we should preach. Also, He's the ultimate example of how we should love our mother. And so today what I want to look at is Jesus Christ's life. I want to look at the way He honored His mother, and I want to challenge all of us as we obey the Scripture that reminds us to honor our mothers. We need to challenge ourselves as well. Listen. Today's lesson is not just to those of us who are adults honoring our mothers. Teenagers, you need to tune in today. Young adults, we need to tune in today. We all need to understand that it is a lifelong mission to continue to bring honor to our parents, and today especially our mothers. Let's look at the life of Christ. The first lesson I'd like for you to think about today is this. We need to be honoring our mothers by obedience and maturity, even as a teenager. That may be the most challenging time of all, to honor our mothers. But I want you to turn to Luke chapter 2, please. Luke chapter 2. Now listen, Jesus is not quite a teenager here. We recognize that. But He's very close. He's 12 years old. And this is really the glimpse we have of Jesus in His preteen, teen years, if you will. Luke chapter 2, beginning in verse 51. It's a very popular story that we learn about as children in Bible class, probably taught by one of our mothers young, right? But we learn about it as adults. We see a lot of lessons in it. We talk about it quite a bit. how amazing Jesus is. But there's a lot going on in this story. But let's look at first chapter 2, verses 51 and 52. Let's read it together. Then he returned to Nazareth with them. Now he there is Jesus Christ. Them would be Mary and Joseph, his parents. He returned to Nazareth with them. And listen to this, young people, teenagers especially, was obedient to them. And his mother stored all these things in her heart. So Jesus grew in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and all the people. Now what happened before then? Jesus is in a group with his mother and his earthly father. And they are traveling to worship, just like the custom was. It's a great parents, right, that kept them, kept Jesus, even though he was the Son of God. They had to keep taking him and understanding and showing him the importance of worship. Isn't that important for a mother to do, but isn't it important for us to understand? Now, Jesus is 12 years old here. And so along the way, there's a separation that happens, right? And Jesus ends up in the temple there, and he's amazing these scholars, and he's amazing these scribes and others that with his knowledge at such a young age. But there's a moment in time, mamas, have you ever been there, at least for a split second, when they turn around and they can't find their son? Now listen, all moms, when they can't find their children, will hit panic mode. But this is the Son of God. This is Jesus Christ, the Messiah. And all of a sudden, Mary, somewhere along the way, turns around and cannot find him. Can you imagine the conversation? Hey, have you seen Jesus? Have you seen Jesus? Joseph, have you seen Jesus? Were you watching him? You know, I don't know what all took place. But this moment where there's this panic and all this word starts to spread. And listen, if you were to lose your child for 1 minute, moms, you would hit panic mode. And I don't blame you. How about for 3 days? You see, they have gone now 3 days, where is he? And so what do? Mary and Joseph, they start retracing their steps. Again, it wasn't 1 minute, it wasn't 10 minutes, it wasn't an hour. 3 days. Could you imagine? Could you imagine how Mary must have felt? But you know, when they find him, of course, Jesus there lets them know that he's about his father's business and he is really very well advanced in his age. But don't miss verse 51. When they told him it was time to go, you know what he did? He went. Because that's what it says. He was obedient to them. Now remember, he's 12 years old. Let's just say teenage years, right? Adolescent teenage years. Here we are. And so Jesus Christ, in some of the hardest years of a person's life, you could not pay me enough money today to go back and be a teenager again. Especially in today's time. It is hard. Our teenagers have so much going on, so many temptations around them, so much access to things that they shouldn't have or shouldn't see or shouldn't listen to or whatever, and it's all around them. It's hard to be a teenager. Well, it was hard even in that day. But Jesus was obedient. When she said, hey, it's time to go, it was time to go. Now, by this time, Jesus knew he was gifted. He knew he was special. He knew he had a special calling even beyond his parents' understanding. Jesus grew. He matured. He matured physically, socially, spiritually, intellectually. But here in his preteen and teen years, he was still obedient to and respectful to his parents. Now listen. Maybe Satan tempted him here. Maybe he tempted him to say, hey, you're smarter than them. Hey, you've got it all figured out. Hey, maybe that pride, maybe Satan tempted, I don't know this for sure, but maybe, right? Maybe it was that pride that he was trying to tempt him with that says, hey, they don't get what you're doing. So disobey him. Talk back to him. You see, what Satan would try to do is get Jesus to stumble, even though he's the Son of God, in disobeying his parents. But Jesus understood at 12 years old that he had to obey his father, but he also had to honor his father and his mother. You see, let's talk about being a teenager. As we said, it's hard. As we said, right now during the teen years, sometimes teenagers, let's be real, it's real easy to talk back to our parents. It's real easy to roll eyes. It's real easy to be disrespectful. You know, I'm just going to confess to you, I wasn't a perfect teenager. And I probably did not treat my mom the way I should have treated her. But I never tried to let my dad find that out. And I never wanted her to say, wait till I tell your dad. You see, but I can tell you, there are three boys in our family, and there's mom. And so, bless her heart, right? And my dad, in counting that with my mom. But at the end of the day, I'd love to tell you, teenagers, I did it perfectly. But I didn't. But you know who did? Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ treated his mom the way a teenager should treat their mothers. You see, when mom tells you, teenagers, hey, it's time to start winding down. I'm going to give you 10 minutes to turn the lights off and go to bed. 10 minutes should not turn into 20. Jesus wouldn't have let that happen. Because it says in verse 51, he was obedient to his parents, to them. You see, turn the TV, music, etc., whatever it is, down means turn it down if mama tells you to. Give me a hand doesn't mean after you die in a video game or at the next commercial. It means right now. Come straight home doesn't mean let's take a lot of detours along the way. The teenage years are usually the most difficult for a mother to endure. It's a period when teenagers are asserting independence and struggling for control. Disobedience is so much easier because you're going places and mama's not there. You can lie to her and probably get away with it. And let's face it, all your friends are disrespectful to their parents. It's really the end thing to do. Isn't that sad? I want you to not judge, but survey the next time you're around a group of teenagers. Not Christian teenagers, but just teenagers in general. And listen to the way they talk to their mothers. There is a decline. And listen, I mean, we could throw out all kinds of excuses. I'm sure it's a TikTok challenge somewhere out there how disrespectful you can be to your parents. Not, it probably will be one. But the way kids talk to their parents, the way they talk to their teachers, the way they talk, it's the end thing to do. And that's really dumb. Right? That's really wrong. It should not be the end thing to do for teenagers to be disrespectful. But it is. And our teenagers are around that every day. What it comes down to is this. As a teenager, as a preteen, if we have obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, we are the called out. We got to be different. You know, I appreciate we have teachers here that reinforce that. We have others that reinforce that. Because in today's society, teenagers get lumped into one big sad group. But as Christians, we've got to stand out. We've got to be more like Jesus Christ. Jesus was smarter, He was holier, and He was closer to God more so than His mother. Think about that. He was smarter than His mother, even as a teenager. Smarter than His mother, holier than His mother, closer to God than His mother ever was. But even through His hard teen years, He was obedient to her. Secondly, this morning, let's talk about being a young adult. As a young adult, how do we honor our mothers? By having respect and compliance. There's a lot that transpired in the life of Jesus between 12 and 30. And we don't know a whole lot about it. We do not know what happened in Jesus' life from 12 years old to 30. That's 18 years, obviously, of what we don't know about. Here's what we do know. He grew in wisdom. He grew in stature. He grew in favor with God and man. He went through the same transitions that all of us do. When we start growing up from 12 years old to 30 years old, we all go through different transitions and different things that we face in life. Well, Jesus, on that scale of that generation, of that era, went through the same things. But from 12 years old to the next interaction with His mother that we have, again, it's 18 years later, and it's John chapter 2. Now, let me say this. Something happens to Joseph during this period. Okay, because it doesn't appear that Joseph is around. So from we know Joseph is around when Jesus is 12, but at the time he's 30, it doesn't appear that he is around. Now, I've heard all kinds of different arguments on that. I like to personally believe that he died. Just because, to me, I don't want to hear any of the rest of them. But I don't know what happened to Joseph, but it leaves Mary alone. Think about that now. She's alone. She's got other children. She's alone. Joseph didn't make a whole lot as it was. Certainly Mary, as a widow at that time, didn't. Perhaps that's part of the reason Jesus stayed working as a carpenter and providing for the next 18 years. We know it's all part of God's plan, but maybe that's why. That He needed to help His mother out. I don't really know, but at age 30, here's what Jesus has done. He's turned over this carpenter's tools. He's given those to His younger brothers. He's been baptized by John the Baptist, and He's announced the beginning of His ministry. John chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. On the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee. And the mother of Jesus was there. Now both Jesus and His disciples were invited to the wedding. And they ran out of wine. The mother of Jesus said to Him, "They have no wine." I want you to know that wasn't an announcement. She wasn't turning to Jesus and saying, "Hey, guess what? They ran out of wine." No, it was a plea. It was a plea out of desperation. Because she knew Jesus was different. She knew that Jesus was the Son of God. And so she knew that Jesus could do anything miraculous that God gave Him the ability and authority to do. Jesus also, though, understood His independence from His mother at this point. So He gave her the response He gave her. Verse 4, "Woman," now He's not being disrespectful there, that's the way they addressed them. "Woman, what does your concern have to do with Me? My hour has not yet come." You see, it wasn't time for Jesus to reveal Himself to the world. But the very next verse, we don't have any dialogue. between Jesus and Mary. Cana of Galilee, there's a wedding. Mary appears to be in charge of what we would call the wedding reception. Now again, they didn't have all the activities and entertainment that we have today. So weddings were a big deal. The whole town would come. And so the wedding reception was a big deal because it was entertainment, it was fun, it was exciting. And I'm not going to get into the water and the wine and all that. I'm not going to get into those arguments today. But here's what I am going to say. It was a big deal for them to have wine there. And so, running out of it would also be a big deal. In fact, you'd be ridiculed probably. You'd be talked about. Maybe even made fun of. And so here's the scene. Jesus is 30 years old. He's a young adult. He knows that in 3 years, once this becomes publicly known, he will die the cruelest death known to man. And so Mary says, not in an announcement, in a plea, we have no wine. Jesus says, woman, we would say, mom, mother, what does that have to do with me? You see, my time, my hour, it's not time yet, mom. It's not time for me to reveal myself to the whole world. But see, Mary doesn't get what Jesus... Again, remember I told you as a teenager he was smarter, holier, etc. So she really doesn't get it now. That in 3 years, her son will die the cruelest death known to man. All she gets is, I need help. I don't know what happens in the next verse. I don't know what dialogue takes place. But I know right after all of this, she turns to the servants and says, do whatever he tells you to do. It's as though Mary said to Jesus or said about Jesus, he can do anything. I have total confidence in him. He'll take care of it. Just do what he says. But you got to understand, here we are as young adults. I'm not saying I am, but in general, we're young adults, right? Mom needs us to help her out. At this point, we've got maybe more, we think, intelligence, more wisdom, we're busier, we got everything else going on. And so we think mom just doesn't get it. Maybe it's passed her by. Maybe she just doesn't understand what I've got going on in my life. By the way, Satan could have tempted Jesus with all those things. I don't know what dialogue happened after the dialogue that we have recorded. But here's what I do know. Jesus put all that aside. He put all the selfish things that he was going to face aside. And he did not want his mother to lose respect and to be laughed at, and to be made fun of. And you should, so what he did, after she said, whatever he says to do, do it, he turned the greatest miracle those people had ever seen. He went and turned water into the best wine they had drank. Sometimes we as young adults may think mom is just interfering. But you know what? She really only wants what's best. Let's just shuck the corn a minute. Have a rubber meets the road moment. And I'm glad that some of you are here to honor your mothers. But chances are, some of you here have godly mothers, but you strayed away from the faith she imparted into you. Because you thought you knew what was best. I don't have to listen to mom anymore. I don't have to go to church anymore. I don't have to study anymore. I don't have to pray anymore. I can do what I want to do. I'm a young adult. But I want you to know your mother has never quit longing for you to come home. She's always looking for some way to pull you back into living the Christian life. You know, one of the most selfish, hurtful things we could do to dishonor our parents today is to ridicule her faith, belittle her counsel. You see, by doing that, you won't only blaspheme God, but you will wound the heart of your mother. Today, if you're a young adult and you have a godly mother who refuses to quit on you, don't be annoyed. Be grateful. See, it may be her prayers that have spared you from God's wrath. It may be her reminders that will bring you back to God's will and save your soul from hell. Maybe, instead of refusing and rejecting and arguing, maybe we need to listen to our mothers before it's too late. Jesus turned water into wine to help the host, but also be respectful to his mother's desires, even though she may have been imposing on him a bit. You see, we would be wise to follow in Jesus' steps. Thirdly, this morning, how do we honor our mothers from birth to the day we die? We have patience and tolerance, even when mom is wrong. Now, I know that may shock you, but sometimes mamas are wrong. Turn your Bibles to John 7, please. Again, we're looking at the life of Christ here and the example of He and His mother. Verses 1 through 5, John 7, 1 through 5. Read it with me now. I'm going to ask you, we've got to jump around a little bit here, so really lock in with me. After these things, Jesus walked in Galilee, for He did not want to walk in Judea, because the Jews sought to kill Him. Now the Jews' Feast of Tabernacles was at hand. His brothers therefore said to Him, "Depart from here and go into Judea, that your disciples also may see the works that you are doing. For no one does anything in secret while he himself seeks to be known openly. If you do these things, show yourself to the world." Notice verse 5. "For even his brothers did not believe him." Now Matthew chapter 12, verses 46 and 47. "While he," Jesus, "was still talking to the multitudes, behold, his mother and brothers," the same brothers who do not believe him, "are with their mother. While he was still talking to the multitudes, behold, his mother and brothers stood outside seeking to speak with him. Then one said to him, 'Look, your mother and your brothers are standing outside seeking to speak with you.'" Now he's going to go on to say, who is my mother, who is my brother, who are my brothers, etc., etc. But here's what I want you to see. In John chapter 7, we see Jesus' brothers, you've got to put all this together with me, Jesus' brothers did not believe him. I know his mother believed him. But on this occasion, she's walking with those same brothers, her other children, her other sons, that did not believe him. Now, why did she stay with him? Stay with them? Were there moments she had doubts? Were there moments that she didn't believe either? I can't give you all the reasons. And I'm not saying that Mary ever doubted. But I do know that she did not convince her other children. And that was wrong. Did she try? Maybe so. But she didn't take a hard enough stance because she's still with them. So hear me out on this. Mary, at least on this occasion, was wrong. She was wrong. But how did Jesus treat her? Did He call her out? Did He belittle her? Did He talk about things that she'd done in her life? Sins that she had made? Mistakes that she had made? No. He didn't do any of those things. And I want you to know there are going to be times when our mothers are wrong. Maybe your mother doesn't share your spiritual values. Maybe she has criticized you for being baptized, for being a part of the church. Maybe she criticizes you for, why do you give your money to that place? Maybe she criticizes you for the way you raise your children. Or she talks about your spouse. You see, Jesus sets a positive example for how we respond in that kind of circumstance. Do not let your mother's wrong opinions prevent you from doing what is right. Now in Acts chapter 1, verse 14. They all met together. That'd be the apostles and part of Jesus' ministry here. They all met together and were constantly united in prayer, along with Mary, the mother of Jesus, several other women, and the brothers of Jesus. Now let's go back in time. I know Jesus used that to teach who is my mother, who are my brothers. But don't take that as Jesus rejecting them. He loved them even through their wrongness. He loved them even when they were wrong. He didn't disrespect them. He didn't belittle them. He didn't cut them down. He didn't talk back. He didn't do any of those things. And you know where they ended up? In the same upper room as those apostles were before the church came into existence. You had the apostles. You had other people in the ministry. You had Mary, the mother of Jesus, several other women, and the brothers of Jesus. In the end, Mary was in that upper room praying along with those apostles, waiting for the church to come into existence, all because Jesus was patient and tolerant with her. That leads me to our final point today. Honoring our mothers the way Jesus honored His. We need to care and help whenever our mothers are in need. John 19, it's a sad scene. Beginning in verse 25. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus, His mother, His mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. Let's pause right there. Again, as a counselor, I have learned that the most stressful thing a parent can go through is burying their own child. Mary, who was selected by God to carry the Son of God and give birth to Him and raise Him in the best to her abilities kind of way, now stands as a bystander and watches her Son, the Son of God, who is now naked and bloodied from the top of His head to the bottom of His feet. She watches and looks on as He is gasping for air. But notice verse 26. When Jesus therefore saw His mother and the disciple whom He loved, that'd be John, standing by, He said to His mother, "Woman, behold your son." He wasn't talking about Himself. He's talking about John. Then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, that disciple took her to his own home. At the foot of the cross were the two people Jesus loved the most, his mother and John, the beloved disciple. Jesus made provision for his mother to be cared for after he was dead. For some reason, his brothers and sisters were not capable of taking care of Mary, I guess. Were their homes too small? Were their children too numerous? Were their incomes too meager? I don't have the answer to any of that. But here's what I do know. Jesus understood that John had the capability of caring for his mother, and she also shared the same spiritual faith as he did. So Jesus entrusted John with the responsibility of caring for his mother in the greatest time of need that she had ever had. Part of honoring our mothers is to make sure that she is provided for when she can no longer take care of herself. We as children have an obligation to honor our parents, even as they grow older. Today, as we close, I just want to say, honor your mother today. She deserves it. She deserves it for all the sacrifices she has made for us. In the end, you honor your mother the most by honoring Jesus Christ in your own life. If you had a godly mother and you are outside the church today, you are outside the body of Christ, but you had a godly mother that taught you those Bible lessons, that saying Jesus loves me to you, that prayed, taught you how to pray, taught you how to study, taught you the books of the Bible. If you had that kind of godly mother and you have not obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, the greatest way you can honor her today is to be obedient to the gospel. And by doing that, you'll be planning to spend eternity not only with God, but with your mama. Today, you have a godly mother. You obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. But when you got into those adult years, you strayed away from it. See, you know the truth because the truth is imparted in you. But you've forgotten the truth. Well, that same mama who imparted it is still cheering you on today. And the greatest way you can honor her is to repent of all your sins and come home. Honor your mothers the way Jesus honored his. And let's do it right now as together we stand and sing.